let us discuss for a moment the minhag of stealing the afikomen.
Oh, boy.
Are you allowed to steal the afikomen?
It's a mitzvah. What do you mean?
Okay,
Rabbi Isai.
Let's resume. We all have a minhag of, everyone probably goes a different way. There's such a custom of chaytfim as chaytfim. Doesn't say anywhere in Chazal, anywhere, that this term, this ugly, vulgar term, to steal the afikomen. That's a vulgar statement. Nowhere does it say such a thing anywhere in Chazal. For some reason, in our vocabulary, this minhag has turned into the term that is used is steal the afikomen. And in fact, there are many gedolei Yisrael, many mechanchim, that severely object to this custom. The night of Pesach is the night of chinuch. It's where the parents sit with their children. The last thing a parent wants to do is to teach his child how to commit grand larceny.
With extortion.
Extortion. Worse, stealing, extortion, the whole gamut.
I'm not
going
to give you back the alcohol unless you
can blackmail. Extortion. I mean, what in the world is going on? And to use such terms of stealing the afikomen, what is going on? So I think the Vilna Gaon was against it. There were many Gedolei Yisrael that didn't like this whole thing. Now the truth though is it's in the Gemara. It's a corrupted interpretation of what it says in the Gemara. What the Gemara says is Psachim Daf Kuftes, Rabbi Eliezer Daf Kuftes Psachim Talmud Bavli Psachim Daf Kuftes. Amar olives, bread and butter for Klal Yisrael. The Talmud Bavli, that's where all the action is. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, Choytve matza bilele psachim b'shvil hatinoi koyt shalo yishnu. Choytven. What does it mean, choytven? You grab. You grab the matzah. It doesn't say who grabs. It doesn't say who grabs. It just says choytven. Choytven matzah. You choytev the matzah. We like to translate the word choytven to mean to grab. That's not necessarily the correct shot. But that's the term. Choytvin matzah bilele pesachim. On the nights of Pesach. Notice it's plural. Bilele pesachim, which I guess means the first two nights. Chutz la'aretz. Chutz la'aretz. Bishvil. Hatinoi kois. Only so that the little children, shelo yishnu, they should not fall asleep. So what does Rashi on that passage, what does Rashi on that piece of the Gemara say? Rashi explains that the word choytvin means to lift up the matzah. Matzah zu sha'onu oichlim al shuma. All the word choytvin doesn't mean to grab. It certainly does not mean to steal. That's a violent, corrupt translation. It means to pick it up. You pick it up. And the children said, what are you doing, Dad? What are you doing? You're picking up the matzah? What's going on over here?
Well, that effect doesn't last very long then.
Very good. Obviously, the way they had to say it, one thing is for sure, the way our ancestors 1,500 years ago conducted the Pesach Seder would be unrecognizable to us to a degree. Obviously, they didn't do the way we do it today, okay? The way they do is obviously a very different ceremony on the night of Pesach. And here it says, according to Rashi, you lip demagbihim haka'ora. It's Rashi over here is really a very non-literal translation. Rashi says you pick up the entire ka'ora. The ka'ora seemingly means it's not just the matzah. You pick up the egg and the shank bone and the morah and the karpas and the charoi says.
You want them to steal the whole ka'ara?
No, you don't steal. What I just said, it doesn't say the word steal.
Okay,
where does it say the word steal in the Gemara? Doesn't say the word steal. Rashi says they don't touch. The kids don't touch nothing. You touch, you get a frask. You don't touch.
But we pick up the ka'ara anyway a bit later on.
All of the things that we do today have evolved.
Yeah.
This is the Seder of 1,500 years ago. The Gemara was written about 1,500 years ago. Okay, about 1,500, maybe a little bit more. 1,600, 700 years ago, this was put into the Gemara. And what does it mean, Rashi, who came from the time the Gemara was written until the time of Rashi, must have been about 400 years. He gave his commentary, maybe more, maybe 400, 500, 600 years. Rashi explained these words. It means they pick up the Ka'ara b'shvil ha'tinoika she'yishal, they should ask questions. Other, now I think Rashi goes, the yesh shem mefarshim. I don't know if these words are Rashi. It means you eat it quickly. Don't dilly-dally. It's a direct order. I don't know if it's Rashi. I think it's another Rishonim. I'm not a little clear over here. He was recording from Rabbi Dvorkis. But the yesh mefarshim, I guess it's other Rishonim. It means not like we do today. You come home until you sit down, until everyone has the kais and the wine, and then finally, holach ma'anya. And then everyone schmoozes, and the manishtana goes on for half an hour, for 2 hours, until you finally get to the matzah, it's already who knows when. No, that's not what you're supposed to do. Quick. 1, 2, 3. You come home, kiddush immediately. You say, halach ma'anya, quick, karpas. You get to the matzah, it's a race. It's a race to the finish. Okay, you get to the matzah, everyone should come back the next day, and bread. Do you know what time we ate matzah? Today you go to shul. What happens every day? So every week, come. What time did you finish the seder? 2 o'clock. You're gonna ruin all your shidduchim if you say that. We finished at 3:30. Ha ha ha. Right? Everyone has to brag how late they finished the. And if chas v'shalom you say you finished the seder by 1 o'clock, no one's gonna want to be mashadach with you. You're not religious. So in the time, 1,500 years ago, when they came to shul the next morning, they were bread. What time did you get up to matzah? We got up to matzah at 8:36. Wow. But you don't come to us. We got up 8:32. We got 8:31 in 16 seconds. There's a race to get to matzah ASAP. Why? So the children should not fall asleep. They should eat the matzah. We could talk about the matzah. Talk about the matzah on a full stomach. Don't talk about the matzah when you're starving. We're so corrupt. It's not to be, I don't mean like that, but the way we do things today is so different than what Chazal seemed to indicate, the real way, the real values, and the real emphasis that we should focus on.
What's to prevent the adults from falling asleep?
Nothing. The adults don't matter. The adults don't matter. What?
Which page is this? I'm sorry.
Daf Kuf test. 109. Kuf test. Ahmed Aleph. Kuf test. So the adult, the truth is the Seder is not about the adults. The Seder is only for the children. This is a children's event. What?
We don't have to go.
It's clearly not an adult event. This is a children's event. The focus is for the children. Clear that's like it's obvious as can possibly be. The purpose of the Seder is all for the children. The adults, we don't give the adults much attention at the Seder.
To tell the story, it's not to listen to the story, is it?
It's to tell the story to the children. The mitzvah is the garata levincha, like it says in the pasuk. The mitzvah is to transmit to the next generation the legacy of Klal Yisrael.
You realize that's all been reversed because the kids come armed with stuff to tell the parents.
We live in Olam Hafuch, in every way. Olam Hafuch. What's true is false. What's false is true. The children are in charge. We follow orders by the children. You got it. We live in Olam Hafuch in every possible way. Okay, now there's another, the Rambam says, and what does it mean, chayf? It means you grab. The word, this is the way we commonly translate the word chayf, means you grab. Who grabs? The adults, not the children. In other words, the adults, they fight. What else do adults do at the table? They fight, and they grab the matzah from one another in front of the children. And the children are in shock. What are you guys doing here? What are you adults fighting over this matzah? So cool. They grab the matzah from one another. The children do not touch the matzah. You touch the matzah, you get a smack. No touching. The adults, they grab it from one another. Why? So the children should be, what is going on here? And they're going to start asking questions. Finally comes along one of the mefarshim, the Perush Rebbe Yehoinasan Milunil. He's a Rishon. Rabbi Yochanan son Milu Nil is the one that really gets the credit for stealing the Ma'at Afikar. He says, the Choyfim Miyad, I take it back, it's not really what he says. He says explicitly that you grab the matzah from the children. The children, they take the matzah. The children, you give the children matzah. And then when the child turns his back, you grab it away, you steal it. Who does the stealing? It's reversed. Not the children, the adults. The adults, you cannot do a worse avera than steal a child's food. That's the worst thing you can do. Child has food, you take away your children's food. The adults are choytef, the matzah, from the tinoikas. This is a Rishon Rabbi Yohanesan Milunil. And why? The children are going to get very upset. And they're going to start asking, what's going on over here? And it's going to provoke them. You take away their food, they're going to provoke them. They're going to start asking questions.
I think the Sfaradim do it now. They stand up and they grab from each other.
From each other. That's the Rama. That's the Rama. The Rama, right. That's what the Rama says. Ram does not say in the Mishnah, anywhere in the Mishnah, that the children grab. It says that the adults, it says Chaitim, the adults grab from one another in front of the children. The children, they ask. Rabbi Yohanan Milunil, he says, no, you grab it from the children. Different mahalach. Okay, so we present over, I think, four or five mahalachim. Four or five opinions. Rashi says all it means is the word chaitim means to pick up. Okay, it's a very unique translation. And he doesn't even say the matzah. He says the ka'ara, which has the matzah in it. The ka'ara you pick up. That's all it means. According to other parish, it means it means you eat quickly. There's a race. You come home right away. Make kiddush quickly. Karpas, yachatz, quickly. Haggadah, quickly. Run to get up to Achilas Matzah ASAP so the children should not fall asleep. Quickly. All the meats. Then we have the Rambam. The Rambam says the adults grab from one another. Rabbi Yohanan Milunil, you grab them away from the children. Okay? Now, that's all it is. Now, there is one other. That's really all there is. And that's the earlier sources. Today, now you have to fast forward about 1,000 years, and we look at ourselves, not ourselves, they already go back to the time, let's even go back 300-400 years already. It's already become a minhag. No one's arguing that it's already the custom, it has become a custom. This what it says in Chazal has been corrupted to a degree where today the more common minhag is those who do it. Many G'dolei Yisrael severely with a tekifus object to this whole thing, what goes on today, but you cannot deny that many of us have been brought up, grown up, that you steal the Afikomen, right? You steal who steals the Afikomen? The children. The children steal the Afikomen from their parents. When the parents go out to wash their hands, the children steal it, mamish steal it, the real deal, and we use that word, and they put it away, and when it comes time for tzafain, well, let's negotiate. Let's negotiate. Okay? One child says, what do you want for your Afikoman present? I want the latest arcade game. The latest. The other one says, I want a Strymel. Why do I want a Strymel? It costs $3,000. I can sell it on the black market, and then I can buy whatever I want. I can go buy, I want an airplane, whatever you want. Everyone, you negotiate. This obviously somehow has become a corrupted, it's like you play telephone. What is playing telephone? You ever play telephone when you were kids? They did this in yeshiva until one day one of the kids said to the Rebbe some nivel pen, that was the end of the game. What does the Rebbe do? Everyone says in a circle, and the Rebbe says a very difficult word to pronounce. He says a very convoluted word, and he whispers the word into the child's first ear, into the ear of the child sitting next to him. And then each child whispers it into the next child. And you go around the whole class in a circle, 25 kids. And finally, the last child, he whispers to the Rebbe the word that he sent out. And it's funny to hear what the word is. The Rebbe says a complicated word and it goes into... So the Rebbe, I remember when I was in first grade, these memories in first grade, the Rebbe did this. And he did this. And then the Rebbe stopped doing it. Why did the Rebbe stop doing it? The Rebbe whispered a very complicated word into the ear of the child. And when they went around the class 25 kids later, the kid whispered back to the Rebbe a word, a vulgar word of nivel peh. That was the end of telephone. Finished. Never again. Okay?
Okay. I must tell you something. When my son brought my came to the United States for Pesach, one Pesach, and he had a 3.5 years old son, my grandson. So we came to Leila Seder. So I took the command and I gave it to my grandson. When I broke it, I gave it to him. I said, I don't trust anybody here. I want you to watch it.
Excellent.
And nobody should steal it. And you know what? At the end, I said, okay, where is it? He said, it was stolen. I said, what?
Okay.
I told you to steal
it. I gave it to you. I empowered you.
You know what he told me? I am Shomer Chinam. Ani patur
migneva. Wow. 3.5 years old. Ashrachel. Fascinating.
By
Zilberman. The Zilberman Yeshiva. Wow. That's a beautiful story. That's a beautiful story. I want to write that down. I like that. Really, I like that a lot. That is a beautiful Ashrachel. To have such as grandchildren. Beautiful story. Now, the truth is, there's no apologies for this whole, this is the way it is. We just presented about 5 different reasons. This is what the Rishonim say. And it's a Gemara. You can't ignore what it says in the Mishnah. It's a Gemara, a Mishnah, Choyfim es Amazis. And we have the Rishonim that explain, okay, that's what it says, finished. Now, fast forward 1,000 years, about 300-400 years ago, the custom has become, the children, they take it, they steal it. Mamash, completely different than what it says in all of the Rishonim. Knew how this came about, it's really not clear, but this is what the situation is. And I guess based upon the principle of Hanach lahem li Yisrael im einem nevim b'nei nevim, you don't just write it off, even though it's shocking, but you cannot deny that there were very great holy people who lived before us in the last 300-400 years that did this. Holy, holy people who did this, they sanctioned it, they did it, and now they do it. We have a whole bookcase of very fascinating concepts about this mysterious minog that's not, that what we do today is not in Chazal, of where children steal the Afikoman. Now, first of all, not everyone does this. Over here it says the Chazoin Ish said, get rid of this minog. Don't do this. And that's only one he mentions over there. He has a whole long list. He writes over here, the Chavos Yoyer will be mevatel this. The Chazon Ish says, don't do this. He has a whole long list of Gedolei Yisrael that says this. There's no mekar for this. This is corrupt. Finished. Stop the nonsense. This is not the way you mechanech children. Don't teach them extortion, geneva. Not the night of Pesach. Okay. Excellent. I'm not. That's what they. But you, on the other hand, you cannot deny that I can show you a whole bookcase of Gedolei Yisrael that say, you know, it's a good kasha. It's taka, good kasha. What's going on over here? It's not what it says in the Gemara. It's not what it says in any Rishon. How did this happen? How come we are not even embarrassed to say steal the Avikoyman? It's a chil Hashem. The goyim find out about this. You know, they were blood libels for generations. The last thing we need is they should write up in the newspaper that the children steal Jews. The children's the last thing you really want. You know, the questions are very, very, very tough questions. But yet there are certain types of Gedolei Yisrael that are very, very sensitive to tradition. And they say, listen, if my Zayde, he stole the Afikoman, and my Zayde was the real deal, he was a real Yorei Shemayim, I shake when I think about my Zayde. He was the real deal. He knew Kol HaTorah Kula. Listen, the question I'm not ignoring. If the Goyim find out about this, we're in a lot of trouble. Do you want to be mechanech your children on the Lil Seder to be a ganef, an extortionist? No. I don't have an answer. But listen, do I know everything? I know nothing. So it is what it is. Okay, it's a sensitive topic. It's a sensitive issue. So I want to present you some, I want to work with that approach. Not that I'm telling you to do it, that I'm none of my business what anyone what to do, but with the approach that there is such a thing as stealing the Afikomen, a new minhag. Is it a new minhag? Is it a minhag that it's a minhag that has nothing to do with what it says in the Gemara? Maybe a new that children take the Afikomen. What's going on? What taka is going on? What is going on? So there are a lot of answers. Not all the answers, in fact, most of them are not very satisfying. Like, I'll tell you one answer that's not satisfying, and that is when it says in the Aseres Hadibros, Loi Tignoiv, there's a psik. There's a psik, Loi. Which basically means there are some times where the Torah tells you, Tignoiv. Now, what does that mean? How could that be? The common example is, steal wasted time. When a person has to go to a simcha, and he has to sit in the car, and he has to go dilly-dally, you know, there's a lot of time there that you can steal and use for your benefit. You can learn, you can do this, you can do that. In life, you have to be clever. Don't let someone fadre you. There are times in life where it's a good thing to be clever. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean steal in a literal sense, which is illegal and is usur and takes you straight to Gehenim. It's used in a figurative sense of try to chaperein. There are opportunities out there which are waiting for you, but you have to be like a ganaf. A ganaf is always looking for the vulnerable. That's the machus of a ganaf. A ganaf. So in life, you teach your children to look for opportunities, like a ganaf. Are you satisfied with that pshat? I don't like it. It's a very common pshat. I personally, maybe when I was years ago, it gave me satisfaction. Now, maybe it's because, I don't know, you just get older. I don't know, I don't like it. I don't like that pshat. Okay, but I understand there are many, many mahalchim to be miyashiv what this is all about. Now, there are new things this year that I came across which are interesting. Now, one thing that I don't know if this is new, but one thing that's interesting is that is stealing the Afikomen is not to steal. It's a zecher, it's very funny, a minhag, for the dogs. Does anyone have a dog? You know Eli Stefanski, the Gadol Hadar today? You know who Eli Stefanski is? He's mamish, the Gadol Hadar. He's like a superhero on the Daf Yomi. There are two Magidim today that are superheroes. Superheroes, Shruli Borenstein and Eli Stefanski, they dominate the world of Daf Yomi today. He has a dog. Eli Stefanski has a dog. He owns a dog. So dogs bark. He has a little dog, like a little puppy. He has a dog. He shows it sometimes on when he gives it off young. And in the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, dogs were very prominent. Ulchol b'nei Yisrael l'yecheratz kelev l'shoinai. When the Jewish people, they left Egypt, the dogs did not bark. Out of respect for the Jews. And because the dogs did not bark, you know what happened? In Egypt, it was grand larceny the whole night. People, as the Jews were leaving Egypt, all the banks were robbed by the Egyptians. When there's chaos is the ideal time for a ganef to come out and take advantage. It is a fact, go Google this, that the World Trade Center was going down. Do you know how much Geneva was taking place at that time?
By the blackouts.
You know what was going on? The World Trade Center, people are dying, literally dying. And at the same time, people went in the basement and they stole like millions, if not billions of dollars of gold bars that have disappeared, have never been recovered, and other things. They have all these scandals that was going on during the time of the World Trade Center. When there's chaos, people are very wicked. When people are dying and suffering, instead of going to help them, it's a good opportunity to go to be a ganef, to go into these shops, into these selling walls. This is a fact. I'm not making this up. This is very, very well documented and discussed. The ugly side of what was going on that horrific day when people were dying and falling from buildings and being burnt alive.
Good people are helping each other. Bad people are taking advantage.
Exactly. So in Egypt, it was no different. When the Jews were going out, all of a sudden the dogs were quiet. The alarm system shut down. So what happened? Egypt was looted. They were ganoven. This is a major element, and a major element in the theme of Lel Pesach. The reason why the children steal the afikoyim, it's not so much just stealing it. They're ganoven. They don't even know what gneva means, children, hopefully, or whatever. What it means is that it's a zecher for ulechol b'nei Yisro lo yechratz kelev l'shoinai. Dogs were mute. Dogs were the security system of Egypt. And when there were no dogs, when the cat's away, the mice will play. The ganovim looted Egypt. Okay, that's an answer. You like that answer? Not really. It's an answer. It is an answer, another answer. Another answer. Okay. The answer that I came across this year, which finds me to be a little bit more satisfying. Okay, this answer I find to be something a little bit new, but I find to be a little more satisfying is, you want to teach the children, like Mr. Marillis, he really hit the nail on the head, you want to teach them extortion, bedafka. You want them to steal. I mean, not to steal, you want them to, steal is an extreme word. You want them to take it, and then the main part of them stealing the afikoman is to negotiate. Because that's exactly the entire theme of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The whole story from beginning to end is Moshe Rabbeinu negotiating with Paro. We have here in this nation, in your country of Egypt, people. We have here a nation of Jews, 600,000 men over the age of 20, 3 million, really there were more, chamushim. You have in your possession something of mine. Moshe is representing Hashem, and Hashem says to Paro through Moshe, excuse me, sir, you have here something that does not belong to you. Give it back to me. Paro says, no. What are you giving me? I'm giving you nothing. You give it to me, and if you don't give it to me, I'll destroy you. And Paro says, no. And the whole story, basically the 10 makos, is a negotiation with a stubborn mule, with a stubborn balabayas. And the end is he refused to give it up, and it's taken by force. We want, when you're teaching your children the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, this is not just a story. This is not even a multimedia presentation. We can actually give the child the experience of being, of negotiating. He's going to take it. He's going to be, I mean, the answer is not satisfying in the sense that the child becomes Paro. The reason why I say that's not a good thing is because it would be much better for the child to be, the child should be Moshe. I'll give you an example. Many schools have Purim plays, and a lot of Gedolei Yisrael don't like it. They don't like the Purim plays. Because someone's going to have to be Vashti, someone's going to have to be Haman, someone's going to have to be Achashverosh, someone will be Mordechai HaYehudi. And Gedolei Yisrael do not like creating a play where you assign the role of Haman to a young, impressionable, innocent child.
Everyone knows it's much easier to play the role of a villain than a hero.
Really? I never knew that.
Sure, it's much. The bad guys are often the, you know, the best
actors. The leader, the best actor, the bad guys. Interesting what you're saying. But the Gedolei Yisrael, like, this goes on all the time. In every yeshiva, in all the Beis Yaakovs, this goes on. I really don't know what goes on because I'm not involved in these things. But obviously this is always an issue because this is what you do in school. You have plays and you have the children. You do these things. You're Shabbos mami, the Shabbos tati, and this and that. It comes Purim. You gotta keep the kids busy. You know, school is nothing more than a glorified babysitting service. So what do you do with the kids in school? you give, make a play. You want to go ascribe to a child the role of Haman? Is that the right thing to do? I once read that there was a certain godly who says that all the people that he knows that played Haman did not turn out well in life. They did not.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you. We laugh at this, right?
Yes.
But it's not so simple. It's not something you want to do. If you're a parent, you don't want your kid to be Haman. You don't want your kid to be Achashverosh. A melech roshchu b'risho mitchilos av yatsoif. In fact, this Purim, I went somewhere and there was a little kid. How old was this kid? I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years old. He was dressed up like a king. A costume, a king. So I said, oh, you're Achashverosh. So he says to me, no, I'm a good king. I'm a good king. And I was taken aback. Here, this little king has a really cute costume, a very adorable costume. And I'm Purim. If you're a king with a crown and the whole getup, what else are you than Achashverosh? He says, no, I'm not Achashverosh. Achashverosh was a bad king. I'm a good king. Okay? And it really, you know, I really was taken aback. It was very interesting. There's something true to it. So this is a little bit disturbing in the fact that what we're really trying to do in this, according to this approach, is we're trying to take children, trying to reenact. We want to give them the experience of what the whole story is really all about. Paro has in his possession a pikodon, a deposit. Moshe says, in the name of Hashem, give me back my deposit. It's not yours. Give it back to me. That is the summary of Yetzias Mitzrayim from beginning to end. Every single thing about Yetzias Mitzrayim falls into those words. The Jews were sent down to Egypt for 400 years, for 210 years. They were 210 years here in Egypt. The time is up. Paro released the Pikadon. They were here to go to the Kor HaBarzel. Give me back my bread. No. Who's God? I never heard of him. I'm not giving back. You don't give him back, I'm going to beat you up. Give him one marker, I don't care, another marker, this negotiation, that negotiation, until the end was, you don't have a choice. A child, we give that tam. The child takes the afikoymen. Afikoymen is a symbol for Klal Yisrael. And the problem with this Vard is, you don't want to make the child into para, but you want to give him a taste. The father now is Hashem. Give me back my people. Let my people go. The child says, not so fast. Let's negotiate. And Hashem negotiates. The father, okay, what do you want? What do you want? There's something to it. It's not perfect. It's not far, far from perfect, this idea. To my little mind, it's a little more appealing than some of the other things that I've seen.
Can I just take a quick survey here?
Yes.
Who hides the afikoman from the kids? Yeah. Anybody? Yeah. Yes.
You hide it?
Absolutely.
That's a new thing.
It's more of a hide and seek kind of thing.
Oh, hide and seek. I've heard that. I've heard that from people. It becomes a game.
It
becomes a game. I don't know what everyone. When I was a kid, the rule was. I met my grandparents, Aleihem HaShalom. The rule was, they do yachats, right? Yachats. You break the matzah, and you take the afikoyim and you put it into the shmat or whatever you put it in. And my zaydi, he knew it was coming. He puts it on his chair, on the side, and he goes out to wash, kadesh, urchats, yachats, kadesh. I'm all mixed up already. He puts it down at some point after Yachas. He puts it down. I'm all mixed up. And then all of a sudden, it's gone. It's gone. It wasn't a matter of hide and seek. It was basically the grandparents, they deliberately left it out in a way, turned their back, knowing their kids are going to chop it. And then when it comes to Tzafain, it's time to negotiate. You're giving a child a real life dogma. There's something to it. There's something to this. You're putting the child in a powerful position. You're making a child into a negotiator. For real. For real. The parent says, give me back the matzah. The kid says, no. I'm not giving you back the matzah. What are you going to give me in exchange? And you're letting the kid negotiate. You're letting the kid, so that's what might exactly have been the real intent. Maybe in the beginning, maybe the real intent was, you give me the matzah, I give you a frask, just like what Hashem did to Paro. Okay, maybe that's how it originally started. And then we got nice, and we gave the kid a toy. But there's something very powerful about it, because you are giving a little child power. You're giving him the power to negotiate. And that's what the whole story is all about. That's what it's all about. Now, as a variation, a spin-off of this Vart, I think there's something else that's even more important about the Afikoimen. I'll give you an emotion. I was in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know a word of modern Hebrew. The only Hebrew I know is I don't even know Hebrew altogether. I'll make believe, I'll say a word from the Siddur, a word from the Gemara, Aramaic, Hebrew. I'm embarrassed. I'm almost embarrassed to open my mouth and say anything in Hebrew, because I know it's probably wrong. And the people, they look at you, you greenhorn, you're not only you are non-Israeli, you're worse, you're an American. Not only you're an American, your Brooklyn accent is the pits. So I'm mamish embarrassed to open up my mouth and give away that I'm from Brooklyn with the Brooklyn accent, and I can't speak a word of Hebrew. So someone said to me, you know what you do? And I was blown away. So I'll take a friend, you know, I'll have a friend, you'll come with me, you'll teach me Hebrew. You'll teach me how to say to the bus driver this, you'll teach me how to go into a store and ask for this. You'll teach me, take an adult. Take an adult, I'm also embarrassed. So he says to me, you have a nephew or a niece that's like, you know, six years old, take them with you and tell them that they're going to be your teacher. Empower them. And it is an experience beyond your belief. You take a child and you tell the child, come with me to the store and you'll teach me how to speak Hebrew. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed to say to the kid, how do you say, the kid, you know, kids who know Hebrew, a little English also. How do you say this? How do you say that? I'm not embarrassed to ask the child the most basic things. And the child has such hana, such pleasure being my interpreter and telling me what to say. It's an amazing thing. You take a child, I'm not embarrassed to deal with the situation because of the child. And number two, the child thrives when he sees how important he is in being the communicator, being the interpreter between me and the bus driver, me and the person in the store, and he, you can't get anywhere without me. I'm only 6 years old, and you know when he's 6 years old, they treat him like, you know, a kid in Eretz Yisrael. They just push around like they take a broomstick and just push him around. Here, he's important. He's the interpreter. They love it. They take it so seriously. It's unbelievable. And what is it all about? What's the psychology? To empower a child is the ultimate thing you can possibly do to raise up a child, to give a child a role. That's what you do at the seder. It's not enough you tell him the story and, you know, and you're nice to him and you're this and you're that and you dance around him. These are all very nice things. You know what's choshev to a child? Give him power. Give him power. Of course, you have to guard him. You don't give him the nuclear missiles. But you give him power. You don't want him to drive a car. At the Seder, it's their night. V'gadata levincha b'yomahu leimar. You are important. The Seder is all about you. You are the future. We're done with the past. Once someone's 21 years old and has a baby, he's finished. Because he's the past. His baby is the future. If he has a child, person gets married when he's 18 years old. By the time he's 18 years old and 9 months, he has a baby, he's done. He's chopped liver. He's the past. His child is the future. It's the night where you machshiv the children. The ultimate chashivus you can give a child is to give him power. How do you give him power? Let him be a negotiator. Forget about the stealing and the pidyon and the Allah. when the child takes the afikomen, and now we can't, you know, we need the afikomen. We can't go weiter. We're up to tzofon. Tzofon is zecher lekarban Pesach.
It's not
tzofon.
Tzofon means
north. Tzofon. Hidden. Tzofon. Tzofon. Excuse me. Shurak. Tzofon. You. What do you do to the child? We're up to the most important part of the Seder. Tzofon. What the matzah of the afikomen represents, it, the tam matzah must remain in the mouth, in your mouth the whole night. This is where it all comes down to. And you know what you do? Being that the night is the night of the children, give them a role. Empower them. So unfortunately, we're corrupt people today. So we make them into ganavim. Okay? Hopefully they don't even know what being a ganav means. And now, they're the negotiator. Oh! You need to do this part of the Seder, to eat the matzah, which represents the Karban Pesach. Hashem saved us. He took us out of Egypt the whole night. Oh, we're important people here. You cannot proceed with the service until you get through security. We're in charge here now. You want the matzah? What are you going to give me? What's the deal? The art of making a deal. You have empowered them. You've given them shalita over the most important object. That's gold. That's a golden experience. It is an experience.
They say all the great Torah in the Seder. They have a whole.
That also.
That
talk is cheap. We're up to the goods, the dry goods. Where's the beef? Where's the beef? Where's the matzah? The matzah costs almost $40 a pound. They got the matzah in their hands. They got the goods. They got the goods. It's an experience of empowerment, which is very, very special. It's a very special experience. Now, unfortunately, it's done in a way, I mean, through stealing and this, so, you know, you have to nuance it in a way that it's not geneva, whatever you do over here. We don't live in a perfect world. This answer is not gonna satisfy the Chazon Ish who said, quit while you're ahead. The Chazon Ish and the other Gedolei Yisrael that said, there's no makar for this. This is a corruption of Chazal, and cut out the nonsense. Okay, I can give you a whole page of Gedolei Yisrael that said, cut out the nonsense. But I'll give you another 10 pages of Gedolei Yisrael that says the Chazon Ish is correct. But listen, if my Zayde did it, it was good enough for him, it's good enough for me. And in Mela, we need to be Miyashev the Minuk. So nu, what's the Yishev of the Minuk? I told you, the dogs, there's something to that. Told you the other Mahach, you have to chaperein in life, opportunities. For some reason, then I told you that this other idea, you're teaching them what it means, pidyoin. Pidyoin. You're teaching them the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He has redeemed the Jewish people from Egypt. But really, I like the best is this last pshat. It's not so much the teaching them about pidyoin, it's you are empowering them. And to empower a child is an experience like none other. And that's what the goal of the Seder is really all about. Okay, let's go to another idea. A quick idea, we have a few minutes. We discussed yesterday, I have a halachic question. I don't know what the answer is. I'm certain if someone speaks about this, and if anyone knows the answer, kol hakavod. There is a minug on the night of Pesach. I just want to use this as just a short thing, a few minutes we have left, an idea which is an incomplete idea, something to think about. There is a minug to eat eggs, hard-boiled eggs, on the night of the Seder. Okay, it's the first thing a person eats for Shulchan Aruch. What's the first course? After you have Moitzi Matz and Morar, the Charoi says, oh, Shulchan Aruch. Ah, Shulchan Aruch. What's the first thing in Shulchan Aruch?
Eggs.
You bring out everyone here. Have a hard-boiled egg. What? After all this, a hard-boiled egg. A hard-boiled egg?
Available.
Ah, so why do you bring the hard-boiled eggs? So there are many, many reasons. We can go a whole long reasons. Avelus, the night of Pesach is the same night of the week of Tisha B'Av. Avelus, don't get carried away. Is that Avelus is also with sad. Here we are at the Pesach Seder. Another year has gone by. Nothing has changed. There's another reason. There's no Beis Hamikdash. We're being misabel over the fact that we just ate matzah and maror, and there was no Karban Pesach. How sad. So therefore, in order to show our sadness, we behave like mourners, and we eat an egg. Rameir said, there's another time, Zecher for the Karban Chagiga. Before you eat, we're going to eat Safun. We're soon going to eat at the end of the meal. The dessert is going to be the Karban Pesach. Before you eat the Karban Pesach is Nechal Ala Soiva. You have to be pretty much satisfied, and the Karban Pesach is gonna tip you off. So you have to first fill yourself up with what would you eat bizman shabbes ha migdash yakayim chagiga. You wouldn't stuff yourself with soup and fish and macaroons. You would stuff yourself with the Karban chagiga. So when we begin the Shulchan Aruch, we eat the chagiga. The egg is lezeicha the Karban chagiga. Okay, so.
Why the egg?
Just a cooked item, an item that is cooked. Right. Nothing more than that. Nothing more. A simple item that's cooked is an egg. It's just a dugma, a placeholder. And it's zeichel chazal. An egg, for whatever the reason is, maybe there's some deep esoteric reasons why an egg, but an egg is just it's a zeicher for the Karban Chagiga.
Like Jews, the more you cook them, the more trouble
they get. The more you cook, the harder they get. Okay, this drush, the egg, the egg. Okay. So you eat the egg. Okay, now, I have a halakha question. Now, I don't know the answer. Maybe you tell me. I don't know what the rule is. Do you make a bracha, a shahakal, on the egg?
No, you made a mitzi.
So what? So what? The first night of Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah.
But it's a Suda. You're saying you're starting your Suda, you know.
Okay. There's a halacha in Shulchan. The night, let me ask you a question. The night of Rosh Hashanah. There are many minhagim. But there are people who eat the simonim and dip the apple in the honey after they eat the bread. Now it's not Rosh Hashanah. There's many minhagim what people do. I don't remember, all mixed up already. But Rosh Hashanah, there's definitely minhagim where people, they wash, they eat the bread, and now we're going to do the simonim. They bring out the apple, the pomegranate, and all of the items on the list. Do you make a bracha on these items? So generally you do. Oh, what are you talking about? We washed. Well, there's a rule. Just because you wash doesn't mean every single item that you eat, you don't make a bracha. You only do not make a bracha on things that are part of the meal. A dover that is bo sheloi machmas hasu'uda, you need to make a bracha. The apple is not the appetizer. An apple is not an appetizer. An apple is something that you would never have as the first course on any other day of the year. Any other day of the year, yeah, you wash, eat bread, and then whatever they're going to serve you. You don't go bring an apple and dip it in honey. You don't do that. The only reason why you're taking the apple is a simen. It's not a dover that is bo machmas hasu'uda. And if it's not bo machmas hasu'uda, you are required in halacha to make a borei prior eitz or a shahakol, whatever, depending on what you're eating. That's the halacha. That's as clear as day. Now, the egg, there is no day of the year when after you wash, you eat a hard-boiled egg as part of the course.
Breakfast?
Okay, yeah. Okay. So maybe you may are saying good breakfast, you have an egg. Okay, very good, but not at night.
Egg salad for lunch?
Egg salad? Fine, but there's no question. Maybe what you're saying is correct, and that's why many do not make a bracha. But on a pure, if you want to be a very strict interpretation of halacha, you would not have the egg tonight. There's no way in the world you would plan to eat an egg at Shulchan Aruch at the Pesach Seder, if not for the fact that you're eating it because of a reason called avelus, or zecher lechagiga, or for another esoteric reason. Right now, we're up to Shulchan Aruch. That's where we're up to now. We had our karpas, we had our matzah, our moror, our chareises, we had two cups of wine already. Now it says in the book, Shulchan Aruch, let's have a meal. There is no person that would right now decide to eat a hard-boiled egg. Not now. Maybe for breakfast, maybe for lunch. But now it is said that you're up to Shulchan Aruch. What are you going to eat now? You can eat either an appetizer, soup, fish, some meat. No one, this is not what people do. You don't Friday night, when you have a meal, a formal meal Friday night, and you invite your family, does anyone ever, after they wash Friday night, or Yom Tov night, okay, we just finished washing, and now here's a hard-boiled egg for you to eat. You don't do this.
There are Chassidish people who will not be happy on a Shabbos meal if they don't get egg.
They serve a hard-boiled egg as part
of... They chop it up themselves.
Oh, they chop it up, and they, and it's salad. Egg salad. Egg salad. You're not... If not for this esoteric halacha, ask yourself, be honest with yourself. If not for this esoteric halacha of eating an egg because of avelus, or eating an egg because of the chagiga, would the average person decide on the night of Pesach in front of his whole family and all the people that he invites to his Pesach Seder, before we're now up to Shulchan Aruch, and now you have a great idea, have a great food to give everyone. Here, have a hard-boiled egg.
The reason you eat it is because of baltashkes. What are you
baltashkes? You're not eating the egg on the kara. Egg on the kara remains there. That's not what you're supposed to. The egg on the kara is the zecher for the chagiga.
No.
It's not necessarily true.
You eat the egg from the kara. You need a special halacha that you shouldn't eat.
The egg for the kahara pashtus is for the chagiga, and the egg that you're eating in the meal is avelus. There's like another reason why you eat the egg is zech the avelus of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu died. Tradition is you have to make an announcement there. Tonight is the yard site of Avraham Avinu.
When? On the Seder night?
Night of Pesach, yes. That's another reason why you eat egg. It's avelus of Avraham Avinu, another reason. It doesn't belong here. I'm sorry. With all of the things that you're telling me, it would not be done at this point in time. It's not. It doesn't make any sense. It's only being done because of a special reason. The avelus of Moshe Rabbeinu, zechel avelus of that we don't have a carbon Pesach mizman hazeh, remind us of Tisha B'Av, or maybe because of the chagiga. It's not what you would do as part of an ordinary meal. Therefore, my question to you is halacha l'maaseh. Really, halacha l'maaseh. Those people who have a custom to eat a hard-boiled egg in the beginning of the Seder, after they finish their moror and charoses, do you make a shahakar on the egg? I have no doubt someone talks about this. I've never seen this. I never recall ever seeing this discussed. Do you make borchatu Hashem lokeinu melech olam shahakol niya bidvaroi? And I would assume that you should. Do people do it? Do they have some excuse not to? Meir has a whole long list of reasons. In the Shut, Meir Appeldorf, it says, Meir Appeldorf, he comes to Maskan that you don't. But I'm not so certain everyone agrees with you. And it could very well be that Nikra didn't a person really should make a shahakal on the egg. Why am I telling you this? Because the next thing I want to tell you. Let's say you like charoises. Okay? Charoises.
Oh.
Yesterday we learned about charoises.
Right before
karpas, you make adama.
Karpas from the
potatoes, vegetables is the dover haba machmas asuuda. That's shulchan aruch. That's why when you make the simanim on the night of Rosh Hashanah, anything that is adama, you don't make adama. You do not make adama. I mean, when you eat anything that is a vegetable as a simon, because vegetables is automatically dover haba machmas asuuda, not fruit. Today we have appetizers that are fruit. We don't make a bracha because we go out of our way, we make into an appetizer, but not vegetables. Okay, now here's the next question. Yesterday we spent a lot of time discussing the sugya of charoises. What are the primary ingredients of charoises? A boirei pri ha'etz. Okay, you're supposed to put into the charoises all of the fruits that are found in shir ha'shirim, or mechol sir ha'shirim. For those who cannot pronounce Hashem, Shir HaShirim Asher Lishlomo. Okay, Shir HaShirim Asher Lishlomo.
Lishlomo.
Okay, Shir HaShirim, all the fruits, the tapuach, the pomegranate, the egoizim. Now, do you make a bracha when you dip the moror in the charoises? Do you make a bracha on the charoises? This is taka discussed. Okay, this is discussed at great length. Do you make a boirei pri ha'etz on the charoises? So the answer is Tamari. So the answer is you do not. The answer is no one here makes a bracha on the charoises. Right? And it's unheard of, right? You tape the moror, you dip the moror in the charoises, you make a bracha on the asher kedushan b'mitzvos v'tzivanu alachilas moror. Why don't you make a bracha on the moror? Because you already did. I made the bracha when I ate the karpas. So what about making a bracha borei priho eitz on the charoises? So there are many reasons. What? Oh, that's the main reason. The main reason is a tofel, because the ikar is the moror. You're dipping the moror into the charoises. Therefore, ikar v'tofel, you only make one bracha. Others say, because whoever told you you're supposed to eat it? We learned this yesterday. Really, you're supposed to dilute it with wine, and you dip it. And you're just dipping it in order to get the extract of the fruits, in order to neutralize the poison that's in the moror. Whoever said you're supposed to eat it? You're supposed to shake it off. There are different opinions. So therefore, even those who do eat it, they're not eating it with the kavana. You know, they're different.
Even because they like it.
No, that's not. It's not a matter of you like it. This is what you're supposed to do. The charoises is there. We discussed yesterday. It's not something that is eaten on its own. It's there as a symbol. It's there to be used as an antidote to the poison. Does that mean that you actually eat it, or you just dip it a little bit and you shake it off? Some say you do eat it, but even if you are eating it, it's only there as a tofel. The bottom line, Rabbi Isai, is you don't make a borei pri ha'etz on the charoises. I bet you can find an obscure opinion that says you do, but that's not the custom. Now here comes a shayla, it's a very common shayla. You know, you have to count on your wife, the chef, on everything, including the charoises. So there are people that like charoises. What's so bad? It's good. Yes. It tastes good. They make it taste delicious. Delicious, right? So let's say, you know, why let it go to waste, this delicious charoises? You know what? Let me eat it now as an appetizer. And when we begin Shulchan Aruch, I ate the egg. You know that charoises is really good. Give me a serving of that charoises. Give me that charoises. So, oh, gesundheit, who's stopping you? Gesundheit, do whatever you want. Do you make a bracha? L'cha'oira, you have to make a bracha now. Because
you eat it as a shmir.
You
ate.
So let's say you want to eat, I want to eat a kezayis of charoises. There are definitely people that do this. I like the charoises. It's delicious. So I want to have some charoises, a dish of charoises, as the beginning of the meal. Do you make a boirei pri ha'etz when you eat the charoises as a standalone dish in Shulchan Aruch? L'chora you do. The only thing that you don't is vegetables, is an appetizer, meat, and
if
any.
If you take jam in the middle of your meal to put on bread, you're going to make
it's a tofel. That's a tofel. The jam is a tofel.
If you have chunks of the thing, you know.
If you have jam by itself.
Yes.
So it could, if you're when you start the meal and your intent is
recognizable as the pre, right?
It has to be recognizable as the pre.
If it's
a piece of jam.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Jelly. What bracha would you make on charoises? I mean, it depends how you make the charoises. The people are eating matzah meal to charoises today. People do all these strange things. People do all these strange things to charoises. But the primary ingredients of charoises are fruits. Fruits! The primary ingredients of charoises are fruits. Borei priyates. You can argue very strongly. I do not know if this is halakhically correct, but I believe there's a very, very strong argument to be made that if a person would decide that the charoises is so delicious, after he eats his egg, he wants to eat the charoises, he would make a borei priyates.
What about the wine?
The wine you made kiddush already on. The wine.
Yeah.
If when you go to a restaurant in the middle of the week, when you sit down to a meal in the middle of the week, you make a hamotzi lechem in aretz, that does not exempt the wine.
Right.
You go and have a regular dinner, and you wash, and now they bring out wine, you must make a bari priya gofen on the wine. You bring out time. What am I trying to tell you over here? Even though you have a machal ma'ayat, so you don't make a bracha, running out of time. You basically, at the night of the seder, you realize you're making every single bracha in the bracha book. Every single bracha, whether you actually make the bracha, or the bracha was made for you. Was made for you. What do you mean? What do you mean? Also, what do you mean? You make a bar priya gofen, right? Four times. Right. Pretty good. You make a hamotzi lechem in aretz. We had a whole shiur on this. Right. If you don't make the hamotzi lechem in aretz, that's probably the most important bracha. You're not yoytze matzah. You're ganef. Hashemayim shemayim lashem make hamotzi lechem in aretz. You make
a bar priya dama.
You make, now I didn't think about mezonos. I can think about
you
that.
You made a
bar priya dama. You made a bar priya dama. You made a bar priya dama on the maror, on the karpas. Now you make a bar. You are theoretically making a bar priya eitz. One way or another, because you're eating a machol, a food that Chazal have sanctioned must be eaten, which deserves really meikar hadin a bari priyo eitz. Chayroi says it's brach, it's bari priyo eitz. Chazal demanded of you eat this, whether you dip it, you don't you dip it, you eat it, you don't, you shake it off. But this must be on the table, and this food item in and by itself, and if you actually want to eat a portion of it independently at the night and say there, you would make a borei preitz. So I'm telling you, it's a virtual borei preitz, even though we do not make the brach. You make a shahakal. You make a shahakal on, theoretically, on the egg. The egg is a shahakal. Okay, we just discussed it for 10 minutes, the egg.
So theoretically you have the mezonos for the sfardim on the matzah.
Okay, you make a birchas hamazon, the birchas hamazon on the matzah, and you make an al hagefen, the bracha me'ein sholosh, at the end of the seder after you drink the fourth cup of wine. You make an al hagefen. The only thing that you don't have is a boirei minei mezonos. Where is the mezonos? No, the answer is what? The egg.
Well,
I'm saying even though you don't make it, theoretically you do make it. Because the egg is a machal that deserves a shahakol niyabidvara. Do you make it or not? I don't know what the answer is. I really wonder if you really halachically should make a shahakol. Someone's gotta talk about this. I don't recall anyone talking about this, but it's gotta be somewhere there's a topic of discussion. Those people who do have a custom to begin the Shulchan Aruch with a hard-boiled egg, do you make a bracha, shahakal? L'chara you do, because it's not bo machmas asuda. Charei says, what bracha, what are you eating? Chazal sanctioned, and they told you, make a machal whose bracha is borei priho eitz. Technically speaking of a technicality, you're not going to make a borei priho eitz because you're dipping in it? It's a tofel? All right, good, fine, you got away with it, but really you're eating a machal that's a borei. A borei pri eitz. So look at this. Isn't it amazing? You got them all. You got the whole brachas book, except for one. You got the whole brachas book. You have a shahakal, that's the egg. You have a borei pri adam on the karpas and the mar. You have a borei pri eitz on the charoises, because that's what it really is. You have hamotzi lechem eretz on the matzah. And you have birchas hamazon. And you have ala gefen. And you have a borei pri agofen also four times. What's the bracha that's missing? The mezonos. You know what the mezonos is? It's the Haggadah. Because the Haggadah is mezon yo neshama. The Haggadah is the real mezon. It's the lechem abirim. It's what's mezon. The reading the psukim, the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, this is real satiation. This is real fuel for the soul. It's not a physical, and you're not going to actually make the bracha borei minei mizoinois, but it's mozoin. It's mozoin. It's the lechem abirim. It's the whole event. That is the so we got them all. We got them all. Every single one of the brachas in the bracha book is mamish right there in front of us on the night of the Seder, in one way or another. Either virtually or for real. Okay, Rabbi Isai, have a wonderful day. Thank you for coming. Zay gezot.
No,
all right. We weren't Zaycha to a minion.